You know, I guess I get the Bible's always applicable. It's always appropriate. But I just think that, you know, as some of the stuff that we're going through with the elections and things like that, just it almost brings Scripture more alive, you know, to just really see, you know, what it's talking about. We're starting to see some of that, I think, more than we ever have. You know, I think probably every generation has seen things where they think, oh my gosh, this is, you know, it's getting close to the end. But every year it is getting close to the end. So, you know, and it could be in our generation. It really could be. So, you know, as Lynn talked about this morning, just we really need to lift up our leaders in this country and just really pray, you know, for wisdom beyond themselves, that they would be influenced by godly people also. So 2 Timothy, if you open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 15. Let me just share a little story here about Bibles. And Lynn and I went to a conference one time in Breckenridge, Colorado. And, you know, Sunday came along and the conference had a service, but we really weren't sure what it was exactly going to be. So we thought, well, let's just go find a church, you know, in the area. So, you know, we kind of, I don't even think we looked online at that point. But anyway, we found one and thought, oh, okay, well, so we'll go to that one. So we show up and it's a house. And so it's like, well, okay, you know, that's okay. It could be okay. And so what we did is we parked in front and we watched people go in to see how many people brought in their Bibles. And that's what influenced us to go into the church. And I just say that by way of encouraging you, bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles, not just for, you know, to have and to see God's Word, but there might be someone sitting in the parking lot to see, well, is that a church that goes by the Bible or not? And you need to keep me accountable too. You know, you need to make sure that what I'm saying is in the Bible. So I really encourage you, whether it's your paper Bible, your electronic Bible, or whatever it is, bring God's Word with you on Sunday. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 15 says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, as well as the persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. I endured these persecutions, and the Lord delivered me from them all. Now, in fact, all who want to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil people and charlatans will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. You, however, must continue in the things you have learned and are confident about. You know who taught you, and how from infancy you have known the holy writings, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." God speaking to us this morning, because we fit into this, many of us. Some of us weren't raised in Christian homes, so that part of it might not fit, but we've learned. We've learned from godly people. We've learned from God's Word. And we need to follow those examples. Help wanted. For hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Send inquiries to Jesus, heaven, right hand of God. That was actually an ad that was put in the paper in 1914. When Ernest Shackleton wanted to go and traverse Antarctica. This was the ad he put in the paper. He had over 5,000 people respond to it. If any of you know the history of that, the expedition didn't succeed, but there was no loss of life, which is pretty amazing considering what they went through. Jesus is asking us really to do the same thing. You know, no guarantee of survival. No guarantee of any kind of honor or glory. the guarantee that we do have is eternity with Him in heaven one day, if we'll accept Him as Savior. This you that it starts out with is an emphatic pronoun. It's very intense. And Paul is saying, you, Timothy. And I really believe that God is saying to us this morning, you people, my people, listen. You have followed my teaching. You have followed my teaching. Scriptural teaching. Teaching that helps you to come to the understanding of who Jesus is. Unlike what we had just seen in the passage previous about all the false prophets and the people that weren't doing the stuff. We had that list, right? This big, long list of all the bad stuff that they were doing. And he's saying, don't follow that. Paul here is telling Timothy, follow what I've taught, what you know from even your youth. In Acts 26:22, Paul speaking again says, so having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but the prophets and Moses said was going to take place. In other words, Paul is saying here, I'm telling you what Scripture said. I'm not going beyond Scripture. That the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Paul was very clear on, I'm not telling you anything that God hasn't already said. He was being very clear on that. And that's the thing that we need to make sure today is when we hear people speaking about what God says, that it is what God said. And that it's in God's Word. And that we're looking at God's Word to make sure that what they're saying truly is what God said. Because there are those out there who want to lead astray, who have other motives and other reasons for thus saith the Lord when it really isn't thus saith the Lord. It's more thus saith them for their own purposes. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians to say, 1 Corinthians 15 says, for I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Paul is making it very clear that this isn't something he's making up. This is what God's Word says. And that's what we need to stand on too, is we need to make sure that when we're talking to other people, that this is what God says. It's not just what I say, it's what God says. And his word backs it up. Paul goes on to say, remember my conduct, my manner of life. And Timothy would have intimate knowledge of not only Paul's public life, but also his private life. Because Timothy traveled with Paul. He knew the kind of guy that he was. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. That's one of those scary verses. Because that's really something that we should all be able to say if we're a follower of Jesus Christ is, be imitator of me as I follow Christ. We should be striving for that. Paul goes on to talk about his purpose. His purpose. The Greek word there, prothesis, is a setting before. In the Greek Septuagint in the Old Testament, it described the consecrated bread that sat in the temple before God. It had a specific purpose in serving God. Acts 20:24 says, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. How will you serve God's purpose every day? Is that a question you even ask yourself on a daily basis? God, what purpose will I serve for you today? What is your purpose for me? It's so easy to kind of just get caught up in doing our own thing and losing track of God on a daily basis. You know, when things start going south, then we kind of head towards God. When things are going really good, a lot of times we neglect God. Those are the times we should really be praising God. The blessings that He's poured out on us. Serving God's purpose. Serving God's purpose. He goes on to talk about the faith and the love and the patience and the endurance, which is just typical, should be typical of a Christian life. Having faith, having patience, having love, persevering, that Christian conduct. That we're to do these things. He goes on to talk about the persecution. Not really something I want to hear about. I'm sure none of us really want to hear about that. But it happens. It's happening right now today. People are being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Knowing that it's going to come. It's going to come. As we've been seeing in 1 and 2 Timothy, there are those out there who want to attack those who are trying to follow God properly. Because a lot of times what happens is someone who's living a righteous life reflects on those who aren't. It shows how unrighteous a life they are living. And so what they want to do then is attack the righteous one and try to show that, oh, they're not, you know, they're not all that. Which in reality what they're saying is, I'm not that bad. That's what happened with Jesus. When Jesus came to this earth, who were the ones that tried to attack him the most? The religious leaders. Because why? He was showing this is how you serve God. This is how you live a righteous life. And they weren't doing it. They weren't doing it. And it showed their sin. It showed that they weren't living appropriately. And so they attacked the righteous one. The sufferings are going to happen. You know, Timothy, again, was privy to seeing what God did through Paul and all the stuff that Paul went through and how God continued to rescue him from that. How God used Paul and the sufferings and the persecutions that he went through. Philippians 1:29 says, "For to you..." This is you. Those of you who are in Jesus Christ have accepted Christ as your Savior. "For you, it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Woohoo! Yay! I get to suffer for Christ. But that really is the attitude we should have. I am blessed to suffer for Christ. But we tend to live in a society where if there's any kind of suffering we're going through, it's a bad thing. You know, it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. We don't look at the suffering as being character building or literally suffering for Christ's sake. But when we stand for Christ and we're ridiculed and rejected, it's for Christ's sake. Paul goes on to talk about, so don't be surprised by it. Peter talked about that too. Don't be surprised when the persecution comes, when the attack comes. We shouldn't be as surprised by the opposition. We should be surprised by a lack of opposition. Because if there's a lack of opposition, then maybe you're not living the way you should. Now, that doesn't mean we're all going to be persecuted because we're believers. But there are places where if we stand for Christ, people are going to look down on us. People are not going to be happy about it. And we're going to suffer whether it's relationships, bless you, whether it's relationships or whatever it is. Financially, we may suffer because we follow Jesus Christ. The persecution of the godly, it's going to happen. And the ungodly are just going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I'm actually reading through Revelation right now. And it's amazing how you see all the stuff that's going on, and then you get to the end of the chapter, and it says, and they still didn't worship God. It's like, you got to be kidding me. How can they see all this stuff that's going on and still not worship God? Because they're being blinded and deceived by the enemy. They still don't get it. But some will. As it goes on, and as things continue to happen, people will start to get it and realize that this is God working. This is God doing this. And my way out is to accept who He is, to accept Jesus as my Savior. It doesn't mean that it'll be easier, but at least I can have hope in the future. You know, so as we go through this election season and think, sheesh, what a mess, we can continue to have hope because we know who's in charge. We know who is sovereign. And the conclusion that I come to many times as I read through Scripture and think, God, why is this happening? Why are you doing this a certain way? I just have to say, I don't know. Because God has His plan. He's doing things a certain way. And one time He'll do it one way, and another time He'll do it a different way. And there's some ultimate plan that He has. Sometimes it can be easy to just kind of throw your hands up and go, obviously God isn't in control here. But He is. He is, and He has a plan. Read the Old Testament. Read about the Israelites and all the stuff they went through. God had a plan, and they still went through a lot of stuff. They were killed. They were persecuted. God still had a plan. Continue. Keep on remaining. Verse 14 says, you, however, must continue learning the things that you've learned. Continue to use those. Continue to use those. The first part of the verse, he says, you have followed my teaching. Follow the teaching of Christ. Follow God's word. This idea of learning, it has the idea of gaining information, which may change your perspective. It will help you acquire skill to then do something with it. You know, not to just learn and never use it. We learn in the Old Testament about Christ, and then in the New Testament, we see the fulfillment of Christ. The Old Testament taught about Christ just as the New Testament does too. But we need to do. You know, there's this the difference between teaching and learning, right? Because you can teach, but it doesn't mean someone will learn. There's a difference. You know, you can take in the information and still not learn it. still not learn it? Because as you learn things, it really should change your perspective, give you skills to then do. Just, you know, reading God's word, just to read it, you need to learn it. You need to learn it and live it. He goes on to say, in these things you are convinced of. Convictions motivate people to transform knowledge into action. Convictions motivate people to transform knowledge into action. So as you're reading God's word and you're convicted by it, you then act upon it. You act upon it. It's that whole idea of faith without works is useless. If you're not doing God's word, if you're not living it, if you're not acting upon it, what good is it? Following godly teachers. Following godly teachers. And how do we know they're godly? They follow God's word. It's based on Scripture. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure in you as well." Timothy had this godly influence besides Paul from a young age. He had a godly influence. You know, I think how great it is to have a godly influence. I didn't have a godly influence growing up. And you just think of all those kind of lost years, you know, that you could have been influenced for God. And again, God's plan. So why was that? Well, God had a plan. Somehow he had a plan. But what a blessing to be in a godly family and to be influenced for righteousness and for godliness growing up. Following God's word. We need to follow God's word. It provides wisdom and it leads to salvation. Even Jesus, who was God, followed God's word. In Luke 24:27, he says, "Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." So Jesus didn't just stand up there and go, "Well, let me tell you how it is because I'm God, and so I can just tell you." He went to Scripture, and he says, "Let me show you in Scripture that you have believed all your life. Let me show you who I am." And that's what he did. Some believed, some didn't. But even Jesus went to Scripture during the temptation when Satan came and tempted him. He used Scripture. You know, I mean, it would have been easy for him to say, "Thus saith me." But he didn't. He said, "This is what God's word said." Because Satan tried to use God's word on him too, didn't he? And tweak it a little bit. And Jesus' response would be, "This is what God says." So how can we take this and apply it in our lives? Well, one of the things we need to do is continue in the things you have learned. You know, all of us have learned something about God, about Christ, about His Word. From godly examples that we've had in our lives. And then we also need to keep on learning. Because none of us will ever have arrived. Even if you have the whole Bible memorized, there's still stuff to learn. I mean, is there anybody in here who has read a passage of Scripture and then read it at another point and went, "Boy, I don't remember seeing that before"? And a lot of times what happens is it's just where we are. It's where we are in our life. And all of a sudden, that piece of Scripture just comes alive differently. It is the living word of God. Yes. I mean, it amazes me. You know, reading through the Bible multiple times, and it's just, I mean, there's times when I'll read something and go, okay, I know I've read that before, but it's just like I never have. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then to be convinced of the things that you've learned, to have the knowledge that must lead to the conviction, and then the conviction that urges action, and then part of that action being to then teach what you've learned. You know, and that doesn't necessarily mean standing before a class and teaching, but even one-on-one, sharing with people what you've learned, what God's done in your life, how He's worked. I mean, all of us have stories about what God's done in our lives. And those are the, you know, they say that, you know, if you can somehow make an emotional attachment when you're sharing something, it has a bigger impact. You know, those things that God's done in your life, things that they can't dispute too, things that God has done in your life. You know, he's cured me of what? He's not cured me, but he's given me the grace. I mean, that'll blow their minds. Let me tell you. You say, well, you know, I'm really going through this, and I'm really struggling physically, and God hasn't chose to cure me, but he's given me the grace to endure it. I mean, they're going to look at you and go, you're weird. No, because we have the hope that God is sovereign and he has a plan. He has a plan even in my suffering. So I just really want to encourage you to think about every day, God, what is the purpose you have for me today? What is my purpose for you? Not my purpose for me. Not my purpose for someone else, but what's my purpose for me, for you? What am I going to do today for you? You know, we all come into contact with different people on a daily basis. You know, what's that circle of influence that we have that we can share Christ through our lives? You know, and asking God, you know, what I ask God for is, God, just make it a kind of a natural conversation, that it isn't, you know, hey, have you heard about Jesus? I mean, you just have to, you know, just jump right in. And you know, there might be times when God wants us to do that, but, you know, to just be able to have that conversation that just works right into the spiritual, to be able to even just ask them, you know, so have you ever thought about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? And don't let them get off on, well, the church. No, I'm not asking you about the church. Well, those Christians. No, I'm not talking to you about them. I want to know what you think about Jesus and see what they know. And just have the conversation. Serving God's purpose in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have chosen us. Those of us who have believed in your Son as our Savior are chosen by you to fulfill your purpose here on this earth. And you know, we look at someone like Paul and just think, wow, that's, can't even imagine living that kind of a life. And yet, he's called each one of us to a specific place, a specific time, to have a specific group of people that are around us. Father, help us to be witnesses to them, to share what Jesus means to us, what you have done in our lives. And Father, as we look around our society and just see, it just seems like it's not good. Things are getting worse and going to get worse. You know, I think most of us have read the end of the book. It's going to get a whole lot worse. And so we need to be able to stand firmly convinced of our faith, convinced of what we have learned about you. That we can show a hopeless world that there is still hope, and that we can still have hope. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move in our midst, would stir our hearts, would convict us to live lives that are worthy of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Doug, you want to come on up? And speaking of living for Jesus, Doug's got a kind of a challenge for us.
What we'd like to do in the middle of February is to actually sort of open the doors to the church and have a dinner for the community. It's a way for us to sort of, you know, introduce sort of us as church members to the folks around us. We know there's a lot of needs out there in the community. We know that our goal as Christians is to not be insular, just stuck in ourselves, but to be out influencing the community. It'd be a way for us to sort of give back to the community. Over the next couple of months, we're going to have Thanksgiving and Christmas, and all of that's great, spending time with our families. But, you know, we should take that to the community, we think, as well. It's also a way for us to sort of have people come and interact with us that maybe wouldn't have in other ways, to see that we're not just the weird people that meet here on Sunday. You know, that we're actually human beings like them, and that church is a place that maybe they should, you know, consider coming to, you know, to be part of with us. I'm going to put a sign-up list up on Sunday, December 4th. I'm hoping that there's a groundswell of folks in the church here that would like to participate in this. Our vision at this point is it would be a big potluck like we usually do for ourselves every quarter. But instead of just having the church attend, we'd open the doors and have anybody in the community come that would want to. So please be praying about this over the next few weeks. You know, as you're eating your turkey dinner, think about how we might spread that blessing, if you will, to the community. You know, in the dark days of February when things are cold and dark, and let's open the church up and show some light to the community.
Yep. Thanks, Doug. You know, this is definitely one of the things that, you know, as I had been praying before I even really took the position and a senior pastor and kind of, you know, laying things out. Where do I want this to go? What do I want this to do? And so that first year we all read through the Bible together, just feeling like that really needed to be our foundation. Was God's Word. And hopefully you've continued to read through regularly. I would encourage you to, starting in January, maybe read through the Bible again. You know, find a one-year Bible or however you want to do that, but just encourage you to do that on a regular basis, to read through the Bible. And then feeling like, you know, this year being kind of my emphasis has been really looking at, so how do we as people become disciples, you know, and really looking at some of those specific scriptures where it's talked about, and 1 and 2 Timothy has really been one of those where it's talked about this is how you're to live. This is how you're to be a disciple of Christ. And then this coming year, really, one of the things was service. You know, so now how do we go out into the community and serve? How do we love our neighbors? You know, how do we love our neighbors? So, you know, this was something that God had put on Doug's heart, and it's, you know, it's amazing how, like he said, it's amazing how God works. And so, you know, I really, that's my prayer for this coming year, is that we become more outreach, you know, somehow reaching out. And it's up to each of us as individuals too, you know, really loving our neighbors as ourselves. You know, and developing that relationship with them. So, one of the things that we can really use, or a couple places, is our children's ministry. We could really use some help there. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, in talking with Kathy and Lorna this last week, you know, if we don't have people that we're willing to serve, then we can't do it. You know, and so we need people to help. We have a children's church, first service and second service, and we need people that can help. You know, just hanging out with the kids, sharing a story with them, even someone to just come and help alongside of someone else, because if one of the kids has to use a restroom and there's only one of you in there, makes it pretty difficult. So they could really use some help. And then our greeter ministry too. There's always a need there. I really thank those of you that have been greeters, that are greeters, that have been faithful as greeters. I think it makes a bigger difference than you realize, you know, to have someone regularly there greeting you as you're coming in. And we can use more, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back. And I would encourage you to check out your bulletin. There's things in there that you can participate in. So God bless you all. Have a great week.